Where your treasure is, Jesus says, there also will your heart be. Where your treasure is, there also is your heart. We read in the Acts of the Apostles where, for the early Christians, Jesus was certainly the treasure of all treasures. Nothing more important than Christ. They even gave their lives for the sake of the name. We see in the Acts of the Apostles where they laid everything that they had at the feet of the apostles to be used in common, taking care of one another, living in close proximity, praying together, worshiping together, being a great support for one another to live the kingdom. It was a new way of life. In fact, their way of life was called the way. It was the way of Christ, to live as he did, to pray as he did, to love as he did, to imitate him in every way. Of course, as time would go on, the faith would spread to all corners of the Roman Empire and eventually become the official religion of the Roman Empire. The tragedy of that was that so many people came into Christianity who didn't really want to abandon their old pagan lives and still live the same old way, in greed, fornication, adultery, living worldly lives by claiming to be Christian. Not much has changed when you think about it, when you look at 21st century Christianity in many parts of the world. Christian in name, but not in practice. Not long after that began to happen, 1700 years ago, some Christians said, enough of this, and decided to go off on their own into the deserts to pray, to reflect, and to live the way that Christ did in the desert, in poverty, in chastity, in obedience to a spiritual master. That's the origin of monastic life. It was a life of waiting. Waiting for Christ, listening for Christ in the silence, but waiting in work and prayer, preparing to meet the Savior. That was the whole point. At either their own death or at the return of Jesus Christ, whichever would happen first. But this way of life has sparked up a renewal in the life of faith in the church, anticipates that coming of the kingdom. That is the kingdom of Christ, the new kingdom where Christ is all and in all, where nothing is preferred to him, and where the saved worship and praise the Savior as it is in heaven. So it was going to be here on earth. The center of monastic life, the center of religious life is just that. It's prayer and it's worship. If you go to a traditional monastery or convent today, you're going to find the very same thing, where the high point of the day is always the celebration of the Mass, the Eucharist, every day, and that the day in every monk or nun's life is divided by the divine office, the praying of the Psalms, called the Liturgy of the Hours every day. Seven intervals of prayer divides the day. They get up in the middle of the night to pray, at dawn to pray. They come together at mid-morning, midday, mid-afternoon, at evening, and at nightfall. And between all that, the monks and nuns work. They might study, do gardening, work in the monastery or the convent, of course take time to eat and to rest. But the whole point is that the day is centered around Jesus Christ. Everything done for, through, with him. At the sounding of the bell that calls to Mass or to prayer, St. Benedict instructed the early monks in his rule that they were to stop whatever they were doing, whether it was inside or outside, wherever they were, and make haste to the chapel to pray together. At the sound of the bell, stop what you're doing, come and pray. Even if they were a far distance from the monastery in the fields, they were to stop what they were doing and pray where they were, reciting the Psalms from memory or other memorized prayers. So what does it have to do with us, who are not monks or nuns, but live every day in the world? Well, quite a bit, actually. Again, it goes back to us preferring nothing to Christ and figuring out exactly where our treasure is and what that treasure might be. You know, we modern Americans could get very annoyed by living a religious life like that, having to stop what we're doing in order to pray. Why? Because we are a very progress-minded people. We like to get stuff done. We don't like to stop something. We want to finish it before we are done. And say now and then, once we're done with one thing, we want to move on to the next project. Always making things bigger and better as we go along. We like to gain more stuff. We like to have more stuff. Always trying to make progress, go to the next step. And we get very upset if something's there to halt our progress. Why? Because we, like so many people who are Christian in name and not in deed, like the pagans of old, don't look beyond this world. We see the world in which we live, this life, this existence, our work and our gain. We see all these things as the reason for living in the first place. We see all of these things as ends in and of themselves. And we're never satisfied, no matter how much we might have. For the religious who give up everything to live a life of poverty, this is not so. Our work is not to gain stuff, but to be productive, to gain character, but to do all things for God. Work was always done in the monasteries and convents, first of all, for that, to give glory and honor to God and to cooperate with God in recreating a world that has been made bad, ugly, and unproductive, and make it the opposite. Cooperating with God to make the world something good and beautiful and productive, not only for themselves, but as I said, for God first and for their brothers and sisters besides. If that's true for them, that is certainly true for us. That's why we live. That's why we exist. That's why we work. The whole point is cooperating with God to make the world good, beautiful, and productive. All done by the grace of God. In this, for the monk and the nun, work became the fruit of their prayer, and their prayer gave grace and meaning to their work. And same with you and me. Our work has to be the fruit of our prayer, and if we're not praying, our work becomes sterile. And our work needs to have meaning by our prayer. It all goes together. To work and pray, work while we pray. That way God's presence finds its way in every part of our lives, every aspect of our lives, as it should be. After all, Saint Benedict did say this is exactly why they were to stop whatever they were doing when they heard the bell, the signal, and the call to prayer. Stop whatever they're doing, either common, in common, or individually, at that sound. Why? Because nothing at all, is ever to be preferred to the work of God, that is prayer. Nothing ever preferred to Christ and to his honor. Again, how does that apply to us? One day, you and I are going to hear a signal. It may not be a bell, it may be a trumpet, who knows what it might be, but whatever it is, that signal is going to summon us into God's presence for judgment. That signal will usher us, summon us into God's presence for judgment, and we will have to leave behind everything that we know to be familiar. We're going to leave behind our work, all of our toil, our pain and our gain, leave behind family, friends, life, leave behind everything. All we're going to take with us is our faith and the fruits of our love that come from our faith. That's it. And face God alone. Before that happens, though, we need to pray. We must pray that we realize that whatever good work that we do, whatever work we begin, can only be brought to completion by God's grace and by God's will. We are not the beginning. We are not the end. Christ is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Whatever we are that's good comes from him. Always. Which is why everything that we do, everything that we have, as with the early Christians, need to be brought to his feet. Everything about us needs to be brought to him. We do not labor in vain, only to satisfy ourselves, but we labor, we work, we pray to honor the Lord by putting our strengths, our abilities, our gifts, our talents, everything to good use at his feet to honor him and to do good for one another. As Jesus says, much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more demanded of the person entrusted with more. The only way to be productive, to be good servants, is to serve Christ in all that we are and all that we have, and to stop whatever we're doing and remember that everything comes from and is offered to Christ. In this, may Christ be glorified in everything, and we be called his good and worthy servants.